This is Mike Corey from ESPN, and you're listening to the Sports Objective Podcast, the unofficial podcast of the Pirates.
To the Sports Objective, we're talking East Carolina Pirate basketball on a Wednesday, and right now to talk about the Michael Schwartz hiring and a whole lot more, welcome in the ESPN Plus color analyst for ECU, and that is, of course, Cy Seymour. Cy, we appreciate you rejoining the show.
Bubba, always good to be with you, man. Appreciate how you support and follow the Pirates, and that it's really important, I think, even more so now. Thank you for having me on. I'm glad to talk about the Pirates.
Yeah, no doubt, Cy. Really need to get things back to where they've been in the past in terms of a Pirate Club membership and then also season ticket sales across all sports. But we'll dive into that probably a little bit more later on. But, you know, right off the top, I do not want to go too deeply into this because I don't want to beat a dead horse. You know, it's been done for, I guess, about 3 weeks now. But the whole Joe Dooley situation, I think it's safe to say that the alignment, you hear that word a lot in intercollegiate athletics, the alignment was clearly not what it needed to be. It was an unhealthy situation probably for all parties involved, and John Gilbert elected to go in a new direction.
Yeah, that's right. And let me tell you something. Joe Dooley is a tremendous coach. He'll land on his feet. He's tremendous. The situation just didn't work out. But as far as what Joe Dooley did at ECU, he gave everything, worked hard, did a good job. But, you know, you move on. Coach Gilbert, John Gilbert, the AD, thinks he's got the right man in place. And as Pirates, what do? We support Coach Schwartz coming in. And I can tell you right now, I wish Joe Dooley the best because he did a tremendous job while he was at East Carolina under tough situations. He walked into APR issues. He walked into COVID. Just a tough, tough time, and still broke 500. Was 500 his last year in a really good league. So nothing but the best for Joe Dooley.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And again, don't want to dive too deeply into it, but like you said, a 15-15 season. That's just the fifth time in 25 years that East Carolina has finished at least 500. And yes. The non-conference schedule in many ways left a lot to be desired, and you did lose to probably the three best teams, Davidson, Oklahoma, and Liberty, but at the same time, you took care of business against programs that a lot of times you've historically lost to. So I think some people, you know, probably downplayed the 15-15 record a little more than they should have just based on our history. But moving on to Michael Schwartz, I do like a lot of the things that I've heard so far, just here. And he didn't use those exact words, obviously, but basically he wasn't, you know, going to allow our lack of history at East Carolina to determine our future.
Yeah, you can't do that. When you come into a program, you can't have preconceived. You need to know what went on, but you, as a coach, you're coming in and you're saying, I can get it done. That's exactly what coaches do. You'll hear stuff people say like, they won't be able to get a good coach. That's baloney, because every coach thinks I can make it work wherever I go. I mean, so that part of it is not a question. I question people when they say our non-conference schedule. No one in the country plays a crazy, crazy hard non-conference schedule. If you will look at our area alone, basically North Carolina, NC State, Wake Forest, they may play one or two games, possibly three, but basically nine of their game, well, all but two maybe are at home. Already going to say that. They have an unlimited budget to bring teams in. The only reason the Big Ten challenge, you're going to play one of them on the road every now and then. Then you're going to play maybe Kentucky, or you're going to be in Hawaii. And so it's neutral. That's what they do. And everybody said, well, they had a big non-conference schedule. Those were tournaments in a neutral site for the kids to get somewhere. Look at what they do at home and who they play. And you can't, everybody tries to get wins because your conference schedules are so hard. So for people to say, no, you better schedule to win in the non-conference. You better try to get all you can in a decent level of play. So that's important to know. And I think Joe Dooley, in the past few years, we have beaten teams that we don't beat. You know, we beat Wilmington. We beat Charlotte. I mean, we've done some things that were really good for the program. So, you know, you got to do the best you can in the non-conference, but you got to win in the non-conference and then try to win in your conference schedule.
No doubt about it. And we'll circle back to scheduling and the big picture of scheduling here in a little while. But let's hone in on Michael Schwartz. And really, even before this job came open, when there was some things out there, when there was the chance, you know, that Joe Dooley may not be back, and you were hearing that was a pretty strong chance. You really heard Michael Schwartz's name a lot. And from the folks that I talked to that also follow it closely, you know, his name was always at the top of the list. And, you know, we'll see how it works out. And like I said, I certainly like everything I've heard thus far. But to give John Gilbert credit that he honed in on his man. He had a plan, and then he was able to deliver.
No doubt about it. I think once the decision was made to move in a different direction, you got to really give John Gilbert credit, because I'm telling you, this is a very good coach in a top 20 program, really top 10 program. They won the SEC. This is the number one assistant. He's been in it for 20 some years. He gets it. He understands it. And I think John worked really hard to get this guy. And I know it all sounds quick, but when you got to make a hire like this, you can't mess. You've got to go. And I literally think John sealed this deal as quick and as hard as he could. And it's a really good hire. But it was so hard for all the parties involved in the ECU staff. But in today's world, everything is moving so quickly, so quickly. If you don't get it done, you're going to lose out. You got to look up at the portal coming open, and you're going to lose kids when Coach Dooley leaves. And you got to look at all that stuff, getting your staff together. And I thought John did a great job. Mr. Gilbert, or however you want to call him, John Gilbert did a great job on making this hire.
And when you look at the bio and the resume of Mike Schwartz, one of the things that I really like about him, Si, you know, in the past in a variety of sports, you know, we may have hired a candidate, you know, that didn't have a variety of experiences, maybe had several years in, but he'd only been one or two places. You look at Mike Schwartz, yes, he has those strong ties to Rick Barnes, no doubt, both at Texas and Tennessee, but he's been with Frank Haith at two stops. He's been with Rodney Terry at Fresno State. He also spent a season or two at Long Beach State. So he's been six or seven different schools, six or seven different conferences with, I think, at least five or six different head coaches.
So you're right on it. I mean, and listen, Frank Haith has been a winner wherever he's been. That's why it was impressive to me this year that we beat Tulsa twice, because Frank Haith doesn't lose. I mean, that was a big job for us. They went to Missouri. I mean, I'm talking about Haith. But the bottom line on it is Schwartz. He has been at major programs all over the country. He went to the University of Texas. He Tennessee, Fresno State, as you mentioned, Long Beach State. And people said, well, have you ever seen Minji's? You know, they're trying to kind of be skeptical. He said, I was at Tulsa. We played in there. I saw your facilities. I saw your practice facilities. Yes, I know what it's like. And I know what it's like to be in this league. So he's been in this league. He understands it. So that all automatically helps you. But also, I think it helps that being in Tennessee, he wants to recruit North Carolina. He understands how important this state is to basketball, and he wants to be a part of that. So when I look at what we've got coming in, he's a guy that's going to hit the ground running.
He definitely is, and really already has. And before we talk about the staff he is in the process of assembling, we're aware of three of those pieces. Just a little more about Coach Schwartz. I think some of the things and adjectives that really come to mind, you know, positive energy, purposeful, intentional, meticulous, and really attentive to detail.
Look, Bubba, you're right on it. And listen, all these coaches are good. Make no bones. All of them are good. But I'm going to give you an example. He called me. It was when Tennessee was getting ready to play their first round game. He called me on a Wednesday night. He said, just want you to know, I'm ready to get going. I'm ready to get out there. He said, but my first loyalty is to finish, see if we can't win a national championship at Tennessee. So he works hard, and he's saying, that's my goal right now. And I mentioned that night, I said, have you looked at your staff yet? And he said, don't want to get into that right now. I'm into Tennessee and getting this straight. It was a great conversation. It was what you want out of a guy that's focused on winning the first round game of the NCAA tournament. So when I got off the phone, I said, nice talking to you. Good luck. Can't wait to meet you. So then I put him to the test. The next morning, this is game day, Thursday morning, first day of the regionals. I said, I'm going to text him, you know, just to do it. I said, I'm going to text him. I said, good luck, play hard, which is the same thing I say to my son when he's got a ball game. Good luck, play hard. And I said, I wonder if he'll answer back, because he's in the thick of it. This is 8 o'clock in the morning. He's in Indianapolis. Right back. Thanks so much. We're getting ready to play. Can't wait to be in Pirate Nation. Can't wait to get there and get the job done for ECU. Have a good day. Something along that line. And I'm just simply saying, that's hard to do when you got a game. He's ready. He dots them all, man. He works it all. You talk about one of the things he's great defensively. He had the scout when they played Kentucky in the SEC tournament. He had the scout. He held Kentucky to 22 points in the first half. He is really meticulous, as you said, in his game preparation and what he does for Tennessee. He is a good man. He works hard. He cares about his kids. This is what I'm hearing this from other coaches. Even the coaches in our area, Farmville Central, Larry Williford, calls me when he gets the job and he says, Si, this guy is a relentless recruiter. He said, I had a kid several years ago that looked like he was going to VCU, and he did. The May kid he had. And he said, I get a call from Coach Schwartz, and he's in Knoxville. And he says, I want to see you play tonight. This is early in the morning. I want to see you play tonight. I want to see your kids. And he said he had a great conversation. He said, and the game was in St. Paul's, which is in the southern part of the south, you know, southeastern part of the state. He said, Larry said, when I got to the game, which is an hour or hour and a half early, he was sitting in the bleachers alone. He was there. And Larry, they went up to each other and he said, Coach, good to meet you, da, 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 da. Can't wait to see your kids play. And Larry said, well, how you got all, he said, I drove. He said, I just got in my car and drove from Knoxville to get there. That's the kind of relentless recruiter he is when he wants to see things. I'm sure that Coach Cherry, I'm sure that Rob Maloney, I'm sure he's going to be local, but he's also going to get the Raleigh area, Charlotte area, anywhere in Eastern North Carolina. He's going to blanket it. So he wants to try to get more out of North Carolina. And I'm in agreement with that. I think you have to. I think you have to get your when you look up, Jaden Garner was from a North Carolina kid. I mean, we've had, and look, don't get me wrong, I like all our kids, but we've got to establish ourselves in your own state. And here's what you will hear. You can't get them at North Carolina. Nah, you can't do it. It's Carolina State, Duke, Wake Forest. That's what they always tell you. Well, you got to understand, North Carolina is going to get the two or three tops in this state, if they want. Now, that may be a bad year. These kids, not so they'll get them. NC State's going to get two or three. No more than that. Wake Forest, two, maybe three. No more than that. Duke, maybe one. It's very rare. that Duke gets a kid. I mean, the kid from Cox Mills, yes, but they don't scour. They go all over the place. My point is, the rest of the state has got a lot of good players in it. This is a state of 10 million people that has good basketball, and we need to get our share of these kids. That's one of the important things we need to do. Now, I'm not saying you just settle for anything. No. But you try to get the best. You even try to get some of those kids. But you try to look at where they are, and you have to be able to recognize talent. And I think he has that ability. Joe Dooley had that ability. These guys have that ability. You recognize talent, seal the deal, get relationships with your high school coaches. I think that's so important. But in today's world, the portal's going to come into play too. So you got to get that too. I mean, Clemson has a guy, that's all his job is to recruit the portal. That's his only job. He's not on the floor coaching. His job is to daily look at the portal. And they've got a really good guy that does that. That's the world we live in now.
Silas, hone in on the staff that Coach Schwartz is assembling. We talked about that Rick Barnes tree, and we talked about, you know, Coach Schwartz wants a staff that he has a strong familiarity with, and guys that he's been in the trenches with that know his personality and how hard he's going to work and how hard they're going to have to work. So let's start off with Riley Davis. Riley is coming to East Carolina from UT Arlington, Sun Belt Conference. He's someone that had been with Rick Barnes both at Tennessee and Texas, just like Coach Schwartz. And he's someone, when you look at it, he was the assistant head coach for UTA. So and he's been in a variety of roles, much like Coach Schwartz has himself.
Hey, I asked him, we talked again, and I said, what are you looking for? This was, and if I guess was last Thursday, because he said, I'm on the road all weekend, or it was either last Wednesday or Thursday. I said, I want to come over and let's talk. And he says, I'm gone. He said, I'm going to be out of here. I won't be back until the end of this week, the one we're in now. He said, I'm going to be on the road recruiting. He said, I'm going to tell you this. The guys that I bring in to help coach know what it's like to be in the foxhole with me. You know, that they know how to get down. They know how to work hard. They understand me. And so they're going to give me everything they've got to be good at this. You know, when you talk about Davis, he understands him. He also understands recruiting. He understands head coaches. It's so important to have that. But you got, see, to get through, it's so quick. You got to have relationships before you hire them. It's hard to just all out of the blue pick a guy. They may not work out. They may not be your kind of person. If you've been with them and understand them, then you can work it much better. UT Arlington, good program, good league. They're used to it. They'll get together. I guarantee they are working hard right now. It's so quick now, and you've got to hope that you pick your staff right. He's not doing this lightly. This man's been in coaching a long time. And the other thing you'll hear is, well, he's never been a head coach. Well, we've had six straight head coaches that we've had in here. I mean, and we didn't set the world on fire. Now, we had good coaches, but you don't have to be a head coach to be a good coach. Somewhere you got to start as a from an assistant to a head. It's the rare guy is the guy like a John Beilein who never was an assistant coach anywhere. He started out as a junior college coach. That doesn't happen. I mean, you're going to be an assistant sometime, and then you get a head job. And people say, well, this is a big head job. Well, he's been a head assistant coach at major universities. This is a good hire for East Carolina, not a bad hire. So I don't think that's a question mark. I think the question is, can you assemble a staff that's going to believe what you believe in? And then can they also have the ability to give you suggestions out of the box that you're willing to accept? And that's, I think, the key to a good head coach is the ability to have conversations with your other coaches that say, I think we ought to try this. I think we ought to do this. And I think that's important for any coach because, and especially in East Carolina, you got to do things out of the box. You know, when you look at ECU, we usually have done well with coaches that maybe have a different style, maybe have to do things differently. I just think about football alone. When you look back at the coaches we've had, we'd spread it out and throw it, and everybody's saying, well, you can't win like it. Well, our success was that way. I think basketball, you have to get your niche in and then change it to be successful in your league. And so look forward to that part. But the assistants, he's going to get guys that he's been in the trenches with. He understand, and they understand him, and they understand what he wants, especially defensively. And then from there, you go different ways. But they all better be able to recruit.
In addition to Riley Davis, you have Jake Morton. Morton played his college basketball at Miami. He's coming to East Carolina from Jacksonville State, a program that over the last 5 to 6 seasons is averaging about 20 wins per season, was in the NCAA tournament this year, and he also had coaching stops at Western Kentucky, James Madison, and Coppin State.
Yeah, no, don't let anybody kid you. Jacksonville State, one of the first games I ever did was at Jacksonville State for East Carolina. They're to me, they're kind of like an Elon or a Davidson in between that kind of school. The 4,000 or 5,000 seat arena. Mark Turgeon, this will tell you something, who was at Maryland and it was at Texas A&M. He was the head coach. My first time I went out to work with East Carolina some 23, 24 years ago, Mark Turgeon had just gotten the job there. And so I knew he had been there with Roy Williams at Kansas. And so he was an easy interview, and I knew what kind of style he would play. Well, that's a good school that he's at, is my point. People say, well, Jacksonville State, that's a good program. He's been at Miami. He's also a hard recruiter. He'll go to the edge on what you need to do. And now I don't know what the edge is. I don't know what's wrong or what's right now that you have everything going on in college athletics. But he's a right hire. He's going to go out. He's going to get you players, and he understands the major college game. So it's a good get for East Carolina.
And you talk about his time at Miami, that of course was where he spent 4 seasons on that staff of Frank Haith with Michael Schwartz. Strong familiarity from those 4 seasons together with the Hurricanes. And then the other hire thus far is the director of basketball operations. As you know, Si, that's a position that until something goes wrong, doesn't get appreciated enough, but so many details and so much to do with the success of the program and just keeping all things straight and making life easy for Coach Schwartz and his staff. But Jessie Higdon, she had been at the University of Tennessee for at least 5 or 6 years now, and she was an assistant arena manager at Thompson Bowling Arena there at UT.
Yeah, that's going to be, first of all, I think it's a good hire. I think she'll be good because let me tell you something. Here's the first thing you got to do in that job. You got to be meticulous and detailed. And then all of a sudden it gets changed. I mean, this league, and we've had so many good, Adam Owens this year was great. Kyle Robinson, tremendous. Because you get so many curveballs in travel. I mean, You look at Memphis, okay? This is what happened the other night. They got beat, and they had come on strong. And I know the radio crew. And Matt Dillon, who does the radio for them, I texted him after the game. I said, Matt, great run. He said, we just couldn't stop the big man inside for Gonzaga. We played great. He was the only weapon. That looked like a Final Four game. It was a tremendous game. And I said, great game. And he said, believe it or not, he said, we got home at 7 a.m. Our charter was 2 or 3 hours delayed. That's what you go through. So they got home after that game. They didn't get home until 7 a.m. in the morning. That's the things you go through that people think, well, they got a charter or they had this. It's always harder than you think. There's always, for example, I'm just going to give you an example of us, ECU. You're going to Tulane. Your meal is planned for 7 o'clock. Your flight gets delayed. You were going to practice at the arena, at their arena at 5:30. Well, your flight gets delayed. Something happens. So you don't start practice till 7 o'clock. Well, the food is ready at this Marriott or where you're sitting, but you're calling earlier and saying, delay the meal, delay the meal. We're not going to get there to eat until this time. That's the kind of things you go through on a moment's notice. And you have to have calm heads. The greatest one with Kyle Robinson, we were coming back from Central Florida. This is the ops person. This is what they deal with. we're coming back from Central Florida and we're on a charter and it's been a good game. Well, I think we got beat, but you're on the way home. And here comes the steward or whoever came in. Anyway, one of the people came by and Kyle's in front of me. They said, look, we cannot land in Greenville because of fog. So me punching Kyle, and I'm from New Bern, said, see if he can land in New Bern. See if he can land. So he says, can you land in New Bern, which is only an hour ride? You get the bus from ECU to come over and pick him up. She comes back and says, nope, can't fly into New Bern. He calls back. I mean, he says, well, see if we can go into Raleigh-Durham. Guy comes back. Nope, can't go into Raleigh-Durham. He said, can you go into Wilmington? They come back and said, yes, we can land in Wilmington. Now, this is all happening on the flight back from Central Florida. So so we land in Wilmington, and it's 12 o'clock at night. You're sitting there on the tarmac. These kids get off the plane and said, where's the bus? They've been sleeping in the back. They think they're in Greenville. Hey, there is no bus. Kyle, in a matter of time, working like crazy, he had hotel rooms for us in Wilmington and had five cabs pick us up at 12 o'clock midnight. And we're in our rooms by 1 or 1:30, getting all our gear off, getting in, and driving from the airport. That's what you can go through. And then the bus came over from Greenville the next morning at about 10:30, picked us up, and we went back to Greenville. That's just one trip. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you can go through. An ops person in this league, you better bring your A game and be organized. I think Jesse, having that big of an arena, she knows how to switch and go and do. She'll do a really good job, and they're fun to watch. These people are really good at their job.
No doubt. Very interesting hire, and like you say, very interested to see how that move plays out in a variety of ways. Maybe some more visible aspects in terms of, you know, maybe game day atmosphere and so forth, and some of the things that may be implemented in the future at Williams Arena Bees Coliseum. But let's hone in on the roster. Obviously, you're losing JJ Miles. That's a scholarship that would not be replaced. It was a COVID eligibility situation, but you did lose Vance Jackson. You had that scholarship available in the last couple of days. We've had Tristan Newton and Brandon Suggs enter the portal. So you have at least three now. All signs and everything I'm hearing, TRW on Tremont Robinson-White will probably not return. So that would be a fourth. And then we shall see with Luigi DeBoe. And then, of course, y'all always have guys like R.J. Felton, Alexis Reyes, Marlon Leston, Brandon Johnson. What are you hearing about some of those?
I know that Coach Forbes is eager to keep some of these kids. I think he wants to keep the, you know, it's like anything. First of all, let me say something. I'm happy for Tristan Newton and Brandon Suggs. If that's the move they want to make, let me tell you something. Tristan Newton comes from a wonderful family. Brandon Suggs the same way. These are good kids. No problems. Gave you everything every day for Joe Dooley. And another thing about Joe Dooley, all these kids graduated. Now, that is really exceptional. So these kids are either have graduated or on schedule. J.J. Miles graduated, first kid ever to graduate from college in his family. That's a big, big deal. And I think Coach Schwartz will be the same way about the academic side. Can we get them through? And Tristan's going to land on his feet. He's going to be a good player somewhere. Where, I don't know. Same thing with Brandon. He's going to help a ball club. So the first thing is, are you angry? No. You want them to get the best they can get. And I wish those kids the best of luck. They're just tremendous. That mom and dad, we were at Coastal. We were down at the tournament in Myrtle Beach. And Brandon, Tristan's mom and dad were down there. And I just went up and I said, thanks for everything with Tristan. He said, he loves it here. He's enjoying every minute of it. And this kid is from El Paso, Texas, 36 points per game. Rockford got him for ECU. Big get. I thought nobody was after him. And look at what he's blossomed into. An American Athletic Conference, all-conference first team. Just an unbelievable talent. And so somebody's getting a break. That's a big loss for ECU. I'll be honest. Tremont Robinson-White's a big loss. Suggs a big loss. Tremont did a lot of things that people don't understand defensively that were really helpful for ECU. I mean, when you look at what he did to stop the cutters, to help on the big guy, and then get back out on the shooters, there were things he did that were exceptional. So having said all that, whoever ECU loses, good luck to those kids because they've given us a lot. And now on the other side of it, I think Brandon Johnson is going to be a leader for this ball club. I'm hoping that we can save some of the freshmen that he has. But again, I'm not on top of that yet. He's working that as hard as he can. And the other thing about having Johnson is that he's a guy from North Carolina. So that also helps. But the bottom line is you got to try to save and salvage the kids you want to save. And then you've got to figure out what I want to bring in and get it matched up. Joe Dooley was great at that. So it's too early to tell, but I know he's working on the guys inside the house. I know probably tomorrow they're going to be working out with him, tomorrow being Thursday. I think he'll be looking at them more and more. And don't forget, he's been with them, talking to them every day. Even if it's by way of phone, he's been with them. And he's talked to them face-to-face. So I think that's been done. I know John Gilbert, as soon as this all happened, went to the kids, which is so hard to do. He went in there and said, Coach Dooley will not be back. And that's hard because really they're looking right through you at that time. But he did the right thing to talk to them and try to calm them down. And then, of course, the head coach zoomed them right after that. And then now they've been face-to-face with each other and they will be face-to-face on the floor, I would think, the end of this week.
As far as some of the potential players coming into the program, word has it on social media that Coach Schwartz is out in the Midwest in the Chicago area. Devontae Hall, 6-foot point guard. You also something we failed to talk about is, as far as Coach Schwartz is concerned, his international ties. Really interested to see the guys he can get in that regard. Because we certainly had some excellent international players down through the years, guys like Musa Badian, Gabe Mikulas come to mind. But what are you hearing on that front? I saw on Tuesday afternoon that we had extended an offer to a JUCO product, 6'6" kid that's originally out of France, and now he's, like I said, in the JUCO ranks, and he'd have 3 years left.
Yeah. The young man you're talking about is a 6'6", that area from France. I'm hoping he'll be ready to go. I'm not sure about that status as far as injuries or whatever, but he's a player. I mean, and see, it's so early. I haven't seen him. Don't know enough about him, but you got to have the international flavor now. ECU at the time, when they played Davidson, for example, that ball game was a very good basketball game. It was a 4-point game with 2 to 3 minutes to go. Could have gone either way. Great coach over there at Davidson. Great program. They are at that time ranked in the top 20. I mean, just really good. We're in it. And then the last 2 or 3 minutes, three different guys, all foreigners, 6'10", 6'9", and 6'11", I think. I may be wrong, but they were all big, stepped out and hit big shots. And that's what won it for them. They were foreign kids. I can't remember where they were from, but all three kids knocked down shots, and we lose the basketball game. And I really believe the international flavor is a part of sealing your team to make it even better. So if you can get those, and you said it right, Greg Horrenda for Billy Herrien in getting Musa Badian was a big get. In the earlier days, they also got foreign players. I think it's important to give you that because they have a totally different outlook on the game. They're not scared of anything, and they can get it done. I like Spasiewicz. I did. I like Dmitry Spasiewicz, but in the turnover, and that was a Jeff Lebo recruit. It wasn't in Joe's guy. That wasn't one Joe was going to keep. So my point is, I think it's smart to have the foreign influence, and always keep that door open. But also, you got to win your home state too. You got to get kids out of your home state. And I think that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to balance his program out. But I can tell you the bottom line on all of them, they want good players. That's first. You got to have talent. Then you got to be a good kid. You got to get good grades. All that comes into play. And so he's working on that right now. The young man from France, I'm hoping he's going to be a player. They're going to need guards because you just lost good ones. But you got the young man now. How about the guy? You got to look back. How about Winston Tabb? How healthy is he? Can he help you? If Tabs is healthy, and you got to hope he is, he brings you 14 points a game from the ACC. You know, and I'm not sure where we are with him, but I'm telling you, he's a player.
Yeah, very interested to see what Winston Tabs is going to do because, as you know, Joe Dooley was saying last year during the preseason before the knee injury flared up and he started having, I think, the swelling issues and so forth. Joe was saying that Winston Tabs was the best player on the team.
Yeah, it's funny. I'd go over to practice to watch him. And he was out there one day. This was before the knee. He put a move on. And I said, and I don't usually do this, I mean, in a practice, I said, whoa, right out loud. I said, whoa, because it was so quick and such an offensive move that made him get the shot off. It was unusual because it was so quick. I mean, it was really on a different level of quick. And after that, I said, this kid, if he gets right, he can be unbelievable. And he's a good kid. He's a really good kid. So let's hope that works out, that Winston can play.
Couple more things for you, Si. Earlier I mentioned that we'd circle back to scheduling, and I know you haven't had the opportunity to talk to Coach Schwartz about this just yet with so much on his plate, but he's someone obviously very well connected from 2+ decades in the business. It'll be interesting to see. Obviously, Tennessee comes to mind, whether the Pirates and Vols may play at some point, but then you also have Kim English up at George Mason, as well as several others.
Yeah. Scheduling, there's so much that goes into scheduling. First of all, can you fit it in? You know, they've got this game on this night, this game. You go through that. Our league frowns on paying. They do not want us to go play a pay game. In other words, they don't want us, for example, to go to Duke, pick up $80,000, take a loss. They don't want to do that. I mean, the league is saying, no, we're trying to build a resume. And the way you build a resume is play home games. I remember when we first got in this, our budget to pay teams to come in was you could maybe pay one game, pay a team, one team to come in. So you probably had to play half your games on the road. For example, a Memphis is an unlimited pay games. They just play at the FedEx Coliseum. North Carolina, the Dukes, they can pay whatever they want to pay and bring 10 teams in. So they probably got $1 million to do that. They're thinking the average price, 10 home games, $100,000 apiece, we bring them in. Okay? I'm just telling you, it's an unfair game, and that's the way it is. Our league wants to be more like that. Don't play away games just to play a big name. Don't do that. We want to get wins. We want people to come to you. You pay teams to come to you if you're going to do anything. And our budget is limited. We can't do the pay. Some programs will look at you and say, we'll come for $100,000. We'll come for $75,000. We can't do that. ECU doesn't have that kind of money. So they've got to fit in who can they pay to come to them. That's a part of it. Then you say, okay, we want to play regional games that we can fit in. Well, those teams may say, they're not in our league. No, we're going over to Raleigh and get $75,000. Or we're going to go to Carolina, we'll get exposure, and we get $85,000. That's what you got to understand. It is not all just scheduling who we want, when we want. It's not that easy. So what is he scheduled? I would think there's some games that we owe back contractually to who played here. So we got to go to their place. Then you got to say, okay, he's got to call guys that he knows and pick up games. Billy Herrion scheduled Western Carolina. He's used to Massachusetts and New England where you can go somewhere in 4 hours and be there. But he was in the gym practicing. his buddy called from Western and said, Bill, you want to play? He said, sure. Bill didn't look at a map. They had to drive to Cullowhee. Bill said, we'll play you over there first, Western Carolina. I'll never forget. We were at the hotel, and he looked at me, and he said, Si, where are we? See, he had no idea it was an eight-hour ride or seven-hour ride.
I can hear Coach Harrington saying that in that voice.
Yeah, I loved it. That was Bill. But my point is, you got to know where you're going. If, you know, who can you? I got this one. This on Wednesday. I want to be home on Saturday. You know, is it the right matchups to get our kids rested and get ready? So those are the things you go through. I don't know anything right now about schedule. Have no idea how it's going to work. You really don't know what happens if Texas and Oklahoma leave. When do they leave? And then everything changes. You know. Then Cincinnati leaves. You know, all this can happen in the spur of the moment, and then you got to make a schedule. I would think it has to happen soon if it does, but then you're getting in new teams. My point is, it's really early in the game.
Another element that obviously comes into the scheduling is the net. We've heard that time and again. East Carolina's net this year, I don't know, 185, 190, somewhere in that ballpark. But, you know, discuss that variable a little.
Yeah, when you look at the net, in other words, where are you ending up? The wonderful thing is, I have been here when we've been in the high 200s, and we have moved now to the 180. I will tell you this, Jeff Lebo had this team at 69. That's unbelievable. You got to understand, when you're at 69, for example, at that time, he was 69. And Mark Turgeon or somebody, I can't remember who, was at Maryland, they were 82. He had this team. And when you're looking at 350 teams and you were 69th, you're looking at a 20th percentile team. You're in the top 20% of the teams in the country. That was an unheard of. That's the year they won the CIT. That year, they beat Evansville by 37 points at home in the CIT tournament. Evansville had beaten Wichita State twice, and Wichita State was in the Final Four. Evansville had beaten them twice. We thought this was going to be a dogfight, and Jeff Lebo's ball club won by 35 points. And he said to me, that's one of the only games I've ever coached that I never really had to get up. I didn't have to. I mean, it was an unbelievable. And then you turn around and beat Weber State out there in front of 10,000 people, and they were all against you. People don't understand. That's hard to do. And we made light of it. There are people that don't understand basketball that made light of that. That ended us in the top 20 percentile of teams in this country. And to give you an example right now, a Florida State is 130 or 100 or 120. This team, that team was there. And I mean, a lot of good teams are like that. So where you're looking at is your 179, 189, 200. Where should East Carolina want to aspire to get to? If you can get around 100 consistently, you're in good with good teams. Then you can beat some of the top teams that are 69, 70. Then you got an NIT bid or a possible NCAA bid. It's not that easy to get there. We're moving that way more than we ever have, but it's not that easy to do, because there are so many good teams out there right now. I was looking at it. I wrote it down, some of the teams. But right now, for example, we don't even think about, hold on, Florida State, these are teams that are over. Syracuse was 119. Arizona State, 119, or 120, 121. Rutgers, Florida, all these teams. That's the kind of teams that move, and you think, oh, it's easy. You ought to be at 100 easy. Well, these teams were 20 over 100. It isn't easy. Basketball is such a parity type sport. It's not where a committee picks four football teams and says go. They pick 64 teams, and it's still hard, and people are still fussing. So this is a really hard sport to get it in. And I love baseball. I love football too. But baseball, you basically cut out the Mason-Dixon line up. They're lucky to get teams in because they don't see grass until May. So you've got to, it's more of a, there's a bias to it. basketball, there is no bias. You only got five players. If you're good, you can go. I mean, think about what we're looking at right now. Duke, Kansas, and Villanova. I don't see them winning a football national championship. I just don't see that. And I don't see North Carolina winning one. You see, you can get there in basketball. A Gonzaga, a Butler, they can get there. And you say, well, they got big problems. No, they're small schools, and they've done well. George Mason. So this is a sport you can get there, but everybody else is trying to get there. And we have got to get better at it. We have got to start emphasizing this is a basketball state that is wonderful, and we've got to push it. I love football. I do. But I've not seen one North Carolina team win a football national championship. This is a sport you can make it in. So I'm just saying, let's get realistic here. What you can do it in baseball, but those sports, but football is really, really hard. I think Coach Houston does a great job, but it's hard to win a national championship. I can tell you that. Well, it's hard in basketball, but you've got a better path to get somewhere in the tournament.
Some excellent points there. And you brought up that championship game in the CIT, Weber State. Yeah, I kind of laughed to myself when people poke fun at that just because, oh, it's the CIT. You know, if you knew anything about college basketball, you know, Weber State had won 30 games. Like you said, they had 10,000 at the arena that night, a tremendous atmosphere. And I remember Weber State, you know, going back to when they had Harold Arsenault and they took down the Tar Heels.
Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you something. This is what I love about ECU fans. We got back at 4 in the morning, and there were at least 400 to 500 fans waiting for us inside the airport in Greenville. And I said, they're starving for it. We've got to deliver. These people want a basketball program, and they're right. And we've got to deliver. That place was rocking when we got in there. Our kids were rock stars. And I was just ready to go home. I was old and tired. But I loved every minute of it for our kids. I remember Butch Ricks. Butch was in his 70s or close to it. He was 62. He had driven over from Newbern. He played at ECU. He's our chairman. He's our Pirate Club rep. He drove over at 3 in the morning and got there at 4 to greet us back. I'll never forget him getting on the bus with us when we're loading and say, thanks, guys. I played here. This is a big deal. And it was. And so my point is, there's a passion at East Carolina, unlike any school in this state. I don't care who you are. They are great fans. And in every sport we do, we need to get them locked in into this sport also.
Well said. And talking about getting fans locked in, you know, one of the big things, and you know, it seems as though Mike Schwartz is an excellent communicator. I think he's going to do everything in his power to, you know, control the controllables and do the little things that, you know, cost little to no money and are just, you know, a matter of working hard and doing everything you can to put your best foot forward as a program. Things like the alumni relations. I told you, you know, I've been in contact with TJ Long, who was a member of that 92-93 team, and we're doing everything we can to get in contact with basketball letter winners and compile, you know, a database of information on those guys, so it makes it easier for the program to stay in touch.
Oh, exactly. That's what has to happen. And TJ's fired up and ready to get on board. I've had several calls from guys, and listen, they just say they're starving to win. You got to do the extra things. I'll never forget Greg Pierce, who's one of the athletic directors at East Carolina. He's a basketball guy, and he understands it, and he's really sharp. And Greg said, you know, when I was at the University of Richmond, he worked as the video coordinator for John Beilein. And he said, Coach Beilein would go to the cafeterias on campus at Richmond on game day and at lunchtime and say, we need you out there. We need you to support our program to the kids. You got to do that. Cliff Godwin does a good job with that. I mean, and all of them do. They've got so much on their plate, I don't know how to do any of it. But you got to do that. You got to get the kids relating to you, relating to what you're doing, and it will make your program more successful. This year, I thought there were volunteers at ECU. I thought the alumni guys or the people working to help our program. There were more students there than I've ever seen in a long time. To me, Norm Bryant, there were people behind the scenes doing a lot of good things to get our students out there. There's no reason that bottom arena should not be filled with students every game. And we've got to do a better job of communicating to them. They got to fall in love with their program and their school and get that done. And so I think that's part of the thing that you have to do. You have to communicate with the students, the fraternities, the sororities, all the dorms. You got to get them out there. And I think that's one of the things we have to do.
No doubt. I'm glad you brought up Cliff Godwin. Love Cliff's cab. Cliff and the folks with that do an excellent job, the marketing team. And just based on my initial impressions of the type of guy that Michael Schwartz is, I could see him being up for something like that, going to the central part of campus and giving students a lift to campus, free East Carolina basketball T-shirt and those sorts of things. An excellent place for him to go would be Sup Dogs.
Yeah. That's stuff like that. You know more about it than I do. I mean, but yes, that's the kind of thing you do. And getting back on Cliff, Cliff's an ECU guy. I mean, people say, well, you worry about – no, I don't worry about baseball because I know Cliff Godwin loves ECU. He's going to give you everything he's got. He's going to try to build this program. He can coach any sport. I mean, he's a baseball, football, basketball guy. I mean, but he's got that energy, that passion. I think Coach Schwartz does. I think Joe did. We just got to get it out there a little bit more. And I tell you, we think all we want to. We've talked about this 100 times on the road. Jody Jones, who's now over at Chapel Hill, Greg Pierce, all these guys, you got to win. Whether we like it, whether we dislike it, if you want people to get on board, you got to be successful. So it starts with Coach Schwartz, his talent, his team. You get winning, people get coming. It's hard, but that's what you got to overcome. And you got to give these guys time. I would tell any athletic director, especially in basketball, if you get your guy, you get the right guy, you got to give him time. This is in a world where you don't give people time. You got to give this person time because we've got to do that in order to cement this thing into a good program. It's not going to happen overnight. Joe did a good job with it. Jeff Lebo did a good job. Mike McCarthy was good. I mean, we've had good coaches, but they got to have time. It's very hard to do.
Part of the alumni relations is in something that we would really like to see done here at the Sports Objective. I've talked to several former players and they love the idea, and that's a tip-off dinner. You have so much success with Cliff Godwin in the ECU baseball banquet a week or two prior to the season, raising six figures or right at six figures pretty much every year they do that. And I know Dave Richmond, he attended the women's basketball tip-off dinner and it was very much a success. And Harvey Hall, I think, had probably 250 to 300 people in attendance. Have it in Minji, you have tables on the floor and you have a nice dinner for those that would like that part of it. But then you also, you have Blue Edwards nearby. You could bring whatever keynote speaker in from the program or outside the program. And you could also sell tickets to the up arena for, $15 or something for the folks that didn't want to invest quite as much to do dinner.
Well, I think there's several things that there's so many things. First of all, we have to fix up Minji's better. It's a public building. We graduate all the high schools in there. All departments usually come in there of some kind to graduate. It's a teaching institution. We need to put state money into it to fix it, along with athletic money to match it. I think that's something that can be done, make it more attractive so that when people come in, they say, "And look, we've done a good job, but we've not touched Minji's itself. Since probably 93, whenever it was that Walter came up with some money. But I since that time, the new practice facility has been built, which is wonderful. But my point is, we need to probably clean up Minji's, make it a better, more attractive place for the public. That needs to be done. I think we need to have a letterman wall for basketball right outside that office so that people can come in, an ex-player, when he comes in, he said, "There's my name. I played here." I think that's something that needs to be done. There's a lot that can be done. It takes time and it takes money and it takes building relationships. And that's where you are. You know, it's not luck that North Carolina has. It's not luck that Duke has. Those guys have been there 40 years. I mean, it's a lot easier when you don't turn over. It's harder. I look at what State's going through right now. They're having Mac, you know, they've had, what, 5 or 6 in the portal already. It's hard unless you can get your clutches in and keep a coach there for a long time.
Something else, I am, you know, regardless, you know, whether it's John Gilbert as AD or, you know, insert the name, you talk about the money aspect. Any athletic director's hands are, you know, going to be tied to a certain degree. Hard decisions have to be made no matter how much money they may want to invest in a certain area. They have to feel pretty confident, you know, that money's there. And in recent years, when with the lack of success on the field and a number of other variables, you know, we've seen Pirate Club membership go from 82 or 8,300 down to right at 5,000, give or take. I think it's 52 or 5,300 now. So I think it's getting back toward where it needs to be. But as you know, you know, it's tough to have the type of success we want to have without the funds.
Yeah, you had, I'll tell you, you had the perfect storm of working. Look, you lose your athletic director, and we had built the big press box, $60 million, and we raised a lot of it. I'm not saying that. But then if you raise it, you got to have a good product in the building. Well, we suffered on the football field. And listen, Mike Houston's doing a great job. People do need to get back and get back involved. He's brought that thing back. And so you look at Mike Houston, Joe Dooley, Cliff Godwin, the female programs the same way. Your AD walks in to a situation where there's no money already. It's very difficult. We're low on dollars. Our teams are losing. Oh, let's throw in COVID now. You know, let's throw that one on top where they can't come to games. You can't have fans. I mean, this was the perfect storm to be tough. I don't care who you are, what you are. That was a tough situation to walk into. And that's what these guys are in. And they're slowly getting out of it. And we have to be more supportive to help them get out of it. I love our new chancellor. I think he's going to do great. I love the fundraisers that they have. We've got to support the university and the programs. And it's been the most difficult time. We turned over. I think about just the turnover in athletics. You know, when Joe Dooley was hired, he looked up and it was Dave Hart and Chancellor Staten sitting in the room. I was in the room and we were sitting in there and he said, and they were saying, this is before Joe's hired, we'll make the hire and we're going to support this position. Okay. And they say, well, this is going to be great. Okay. So then Dave goes back and he's great athletic guy and all that. Nothing wrong with him, but he goes back to work. Well, you got Cecil there or Chancellor State, and you say, okay, Joe's in good shape. Got the chancellor there who hired him. Then he gets let go. So here's Joe on an island. Nobody that was there when he got hired, they're gone. That's got to be difficult for building a program. And so you got John there now. He's hired this coach. He's hired Houston. You got a chancellor who they just given John Gilbert an extension, which was the right thing to do. Now let's support it. My point is Pirates, we got stability, got a great chancellor, got an AD. He's got his staff in line. Now let's go support it. That's our job. And we're supposed to support it either way. You're supposed to give. So my point is everything's lining up better. It's going to take time, but go support it as fans.
Speaking of support, as you see there on the screen, East Carolina football season tickets 2022, 7 home games, packages as low as $125. Of course, the season opener against NC State and just a tremendous schedule all around. You have UCF coming to Greenville. So many tremendous games that you'll want to be in Dowdy-Ficklin for this fall. So make sure you, number one, join the Pirate Club. Call 252-737-4540 or go to ecupirateclub.com. and join. You can join for as little as $100. And hey, don't think that just because you may be giving at the $100 level that you aren't important to East Carolina athletics, because every little bit helps. And we really need to grow the Pirate Club back to where it once was and beyond. And then as far as season ticket sales, at one point in time, you know, we were up there approaching 23,000. It's right. going to be hard to get back there in today's environment with the way you know, games are televised, so on and so forth. But I'm a firm believer, you know, that we can get back up there, you know, approaching 20,000. And with the product that Coach Houston and staff are putting on the field, you know, why not?
Oh, I'm with you. I mean, like I say about ECU fans, when they're in there, there's no place like it. And I'm even talking about in our league in basketball, same way. The passion at ECU is deeper. I can't explain it. I mean, and we played at Memphis. Who has good teams, Central Florida. The passion is different at East Carolina. It's a different level. And I think it goes back to such a long football tradition that same passion comes into the arena if we're playing well. ECU's had a really good part. I'll never forget. I was at the first state ECU football game up there in Raleigh, and ECU played well. And then the next year they beat them, or either the year before, I can't even remember. It's all confused now. But I'm saying even then the passion was there, the fans were there. That's never changed. We've got the passion. We need to get them a good product to support. And so, because it's there, all the building, and I'm trying to think of anybody. Cincinnati's good. Cincinnati basketball, that's a great, great atmosphere when you go there. I'm trying to think of others. SMU's okay, and they've been winning. Memphis is good. They're in a pro arena. But I think the best of the group would be Cincinnati in the league. There's 10 to 11,000 there. And they're going crazy for Cincinnati. It's just the way it is. And they've got a history. They won two national championships. Oscar Robertson sitting there. So my point is, we just got to get winning, and that'll help it.
Everybody loves a winner. And here's to Mike Schwartz, you know, being the one that helps get this East Carolina basketball program to where we all want it. And, you know, appreciate your passion for the Pirates side. That's all we want, is for the Pirates to be successful and, you know, maximize our potential and, you know, be as good as we can be in all sports and otherwise. And I appreciate your time this morning and your candid thoughts.
Bubba, always fun. And our ultimate goal is East Carolina University and the betterment of that university. This is the athletic portion. We also want the other side to be the same way.
No doubt. East Carolina, ESPN Plus, basketball color analyst, Si Seymour. Be sure to follow us on social media, on Twitter, at the Sports OBJ. We can also be found at the Sports OBJ on TikTok, on Facebook. It's just simply by searching the Sports Objective. Follow us, or subscribe, rather, on YouTube. Be sure to like and comment when you check out our various content there on YouTube. And we'll talk to you real soon. You've been watching the Sports Objective. And again, we're talking East Carolina Pirate basketball. And we'll talk to you real soon. Take care, everyone. And go Pirates.